please close the eyes. Let us pay our respects to the temple deity. Om Shri Mahaganapati Namaha. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Bhuvaneshwari Namaha. We are talking about Gayatri. And the two words which are most important for Indian culture, the divine culture, for Bharatiya Sanskriti, have almost now been completely misunderstood. One is Gayatri and the other is Yajna. If you know these two words, Gayatri and Yajna, you know the entire divine culture. When I mean and what I mean and what I intend to tell you is, divine culture means the culture which is beyond the five senses, which it does not need the approach towards life which depends on five senses. This you must have in your mind very clearly embedded. When we talk about Gayatri, we are talking something about divine, but not that divinity which we understand now by that term. Divinity is also a much misunderstood and misapplied term. That is why every day I repeat it, that Gayatri is not a deity. It is the life force inherent in everything. And when I say inherent in everything, it means inherent in everything, right from the atom to the greatest galaxies and black holes in nature. Everything is inherent in life. Because of life, matter exists. It is not because of matter that life exists. You try to understand that. You have a physical body because you have a life. If we don't have a life, this physical body has no meaning. It will disintegrate in course of time. So life is more important than matter. And the present era, matter is more important than life. That is what Kali Yuga means. So this attitude towards life, you must understand that because you are born in Kali Yuga, by nature, by your intrinsic nature is to think about materialistic. Profits are problems. That which is not materialistic never concerns you. Every problem of yours, in the end, distills down to some materialism or materialistic cause. And Gayatri tells you, don't talk about materialism, you talk about life. And because of that life, this world exists. Akhanda mandala akaram. Vyaptam yena characharam, yat padam darshitam yena, tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So the real Guru is that which makes you aware that in the smallest of the smallest particle and to the biggest universe, all is pervaded by the life principle. And what Gayatri tells us is the methodology with which we can control the life principle. Got the point very clearly? So don't think about gods and goddesses. You think about only one life. Just as all the electrical appliances are controlled by one electrical energy. And how many electrical appliances are there? God only knows. Many, many, many are there, some very small and some very big. But whether the small semiconductor or the biggest apparatus which we can envisage, all are controlled by electricity, is it not? And electricity is power. And power has certain rules and regulations. You may say that electricity is very powerful, but if you touch it, you may get a shock. But if you touch it with some rubber gloves, will you get a shock? No. Then you say, I have touched it and no shock at all. That is because you have not touched it in the way you should touch it. Similarly, when we say that Gayatri is very powerful, and when I say Gayatri is very powerful, I mean the life principle in you is very powerful. Always, always come to that point. Always I want to tell you, never think of an external deity like Gayatri. No. Gayatri is you, your life principle. Because of that life principle, you are alive. Whatever may be your age, even though you may be in a coma for 60 or 70 years, because the life principle is there, we say he is alive. Even though in a coma, almost a man is useless. What do you mean by almost in every sense is useless? But in America, I hear that there are a special wards, special buildings, where they put these comatose patients, hoping that someday a drug will be discovered and they will come out of the coma. But what I want to stress is, even in the coma, a life principle is there which is maintaining the body. The body is not disintegrating because he is in coma. Even though his five senses are not working, some life principle is there which is making you alive. This life principle and breath are almost intermingled. If you have life in the body, it must be breathing. If the breath is not there, the life is not there. So for all external purposes, it seems that life and breath are intermingled, associated with each other. If you are breathing, there is life. If you are not breathing, there is no life. But our rishis say, the scientists who are well versed in the laws of life, they say breathing is not necessary for livelihood. To be alive, you need not breathe. It is one of our habits. Just as they said, dying is a habit. Similarly, to be alive, you feel that you should breathe. It is not necessary. What is necessary for living is prana. Prana, as our ancient rishis envisage and formulate it, is not breathing. It is something else. Then what is breathing? It is like the capsule. The air which we breathe in is like a capsule, and in the capsule is the medicine, prana. You can't take medicine without a capsule, is it not? It's a pharmaceutical company provides you with only the powder that is in that capsule. You know that the powder will soon get oxidized and it will lose its medical value. So, the medicinal value to be saved, we need a container, a capsule. And breathing is the capsule. And when I say breathing is the capsule, I mean the air molecules are the capsules. So air is the carrier of prana, life energy. This particular life energy, the rishis say, can be understood in three powerful words we use. One is known as the Parasuvedi. It is a stone. If you take a baser metal with that stone, it becomes gold. What do you call it? You understand what I mean by that? Parasuvedi? Philosopher's stone, somebody call it. You got the point? So Gayatri, in one sense, is Parasuvedi. If you touch it in the proper way, whatever Gayatri touches becomes changed into a nobler metal. But I am not talking about the Midyas touch. You know about the king Midyas and his touch? A great sage came once to the king's court and he said, ask any boon. He said, whatever I touch must become gold. He said, it is a very dangerous bone, don't ask it. He said, no, you give it to me. I will look after the other dangers. Then okay. He wanted to drink water, he touched it, it became gold. He wanted to eat food, he touched it, it became gold. Then what he has to do, he has to keep his hands aloof and somebody has to feed him. Somebody has to clothe him. But one day his daughter came running to him, a small kid, and he forgot about his touch and he touched her. What happened? The girl became golden. Would you like to have such a touch? I hope we are on media. We say, okay, we will see later. First let us have the touch. That is what Kali Yuga is. Even though we are warned of the dangers, okay, we'll see what happens. So anyway, Gayatri is one of the concepts of Gayatri. One of the qualities of Gayatri is this touch, what is known as Parasu Vedi. You understood now what I mean? Then the second is what is known as the Kalpa Vruksha, the milk tree. This tree is supposed to be in the heavens, and if you sit below it and you ask anything, you are given. And then there is the third aspect of Gayatri, which is known as Kamadhenu, the cow which fulfills all your desires. And mind you, these three are the different states of evolution of consciousness. The mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom. Animal kingdom, the cow, Kamadhenu. Plant kingdom, the Kamadhenu. And of course, the Kalparuksha. And then the mineral kingdom, Parasuvedi. You touch it, a touchstone, which makes baser metals costly metals. This is also known as the Tripada Gayatri. The first 8 letters, the second 8 letters, the third 8 letters. Any trinity you name it, you will find it in Gayatri. Sattva, Raja and Tamogunas. If you find it hard to understand it in English or Sanskrit, in English you can call it Tamoguna as inertia. The Rajoguna is activity. And the Sattva Guna as harmony. So wherever there is this triplicity, even the electron, proton and neutron, all is encompassed by this formula, Tat Savitur Varenyam, Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi, Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat. I remember a story. A village far away from the city, very far away. Still the city atmosphere has not pervaded the village. People don't know about education except few alphabets and this and that. One of his friends came from city and told him, that if your son can pass MCET examination, he can become an engineer. That is what he told him. He came from the city. He was worried about the education of his child because it was a very small village and there was no higher education there. He never heard about this MCET examinations and this and that. The city friend told the village friend, if your son can pass the MCET examination in high rank, he will become an engineer. Anyway, the son was very brilliant. He was brought to the city. He appeared for the MCET examination and went back home to the village. The results came. And he stood first rank. And now he said, you have become an engineer. Who said? The village friend. He didn't know that after passing the MCET, you have to read more. You have to pay more. He only heard his friend saying that if he passes the MCET, he becomes an engineer. And that poor city friend didn't know that he was supposed to tell this also, that after passing the entrance in rank, you have still to apply for that seat, you have to join the college, you have to pay the fees, and then also if everything goes on well and he continues to study, then he will become an engineer after 5 years. Similarly, we are also been told that you do Gayatri, you will get everything. You understood the example? Then the rishis say, if you do Gayatri, you will get everything, they are right. Just as the city friend was right when he was telling his friend that his son passes the MCET examination, he will become an engineer. But how, after doing something, and that something is much more hard work than he did previously, is it not? Similarly, when the gurus say that Gayatri is all powerful, Gayatri is the Parsivedi, Gayatri is the Kalparuksha, and Gayatri is the Kamadhenu, you are supposed to work hard to get it. That we forget. If somebody says that if you want to learn English, it is not difficult. There are only 26 letters. You learn the letters, you will learn English. Is it right or wrong? Is it right or wrong? That is 100% correct. But suppose you go on saying ABCD, XYZ, ABCD, XYZ, ABCD, XYZ, ABCD, XYZ, ABCD, XYZ. Will you get English? So you should know how to utilize the alphabet. What is the alphabet? The first alphabet which Gayatri uses is the 24 hours of the day. Each hour of the day is an alphabet, is a letter of the Gayatri. So when you want to utilize Gayatri, the 24 letters, it means you are supposed to know how to utilize the 24 hours of the day. Practicing the japa, of course, is a part of that. For an hour or so, you are supposed to do that mantra japa. But after that, all the 23 hours left after the mantra japa, you should utilize as Gayatri intends you to do. Again, don't forget Gayatri means living, life energy. Never forget that, because unfortunately we are so oriented that however many times I repeat it, again when I say Gayatri, it shifts to a deity. No. It is your breath that must be controlled all the 24 hours. Got the point? And how you should utilize the breathing pattern is what Gayatri Mantra tells you. That is why when once you can tune the Gayatri Mantra with your breath, it becomes Ajapa Gayatri. Ajapa Gayatri means you need not do the Japa of the Gayatri. You are already doing it. You should be conscious of it, that's all. The breath is going in, the breath is coming out. This gives you life. And spiritual scientists, yesterday I was telling you, they said that the basis of life is sound, not electricity. So when the breath goes out, you have a sound called hum. When the breath comes out, you have that sound. Don't utter that sound. You experience that sound. You understood what wrong we do when you read a book and talk about Ajapa Gayatri. There the sounds are given and you start the hum, sa. You hear that sound. Shruti. When you hear that sound, what is the sound you are hearing? Hum, sa. Hum, sa. So your life energy is based on hum, sa. That is why Mother Gayatri is supposed to stay on a hamsa. What hamsa? The sound hamsa. I don't know whether really there is a fan on which a Mother Gayatri can sit or not, but certainly this hamsa is where your life energy sits. A very simple process. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janah paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. This breath energy, if you can move it as a hamsa, what happens? Whatever you want, you will get. That is yoga. Yoga means you will get whatever you want. Whatever it may be. The only thing is you should be sensible in asking it. Because when a chance comes to ask and you ask something very wrong, the opportunity is gone. I remember a story in Sri Chaila. They say it really happened. There was an old couple, very old couple. They were practicing auspices since their youth. They were praying to Mother Gayatri, Parvati and Shiva. They started in their middle age, and now it seems they have gone to a very ripe age of 80 years or so. And Mother Parvati said, why don't you bless them?
Since 50 years, they are praying for you.
Lord Shiva said, no, the time has not yet come. He said, that's what is wrong with you. You always say the time has not yet come. For 30 years they are praying, sitting on the mountain in the cave. Lord Shiva said, if you say so, okay, I don't mind it. Let us go and bless them. Parvati was very happy. So both of them, Shiva and Parvati, descended on Sri Shaila mountain. Showed themselves to the couple, old couple, very weak because of their age. Then Mother Parvati said, let us bless them. Then Shiva said, ladies first, you bless first. So Parvati said, you know, I am Parvati, I am very much pleased with your sending. What do you want? Then that poor old lady, this old man always wanted her to do this and do that, serve him in this way and that way. She was fed up with that. She said, I want to become younger. Why she wants to become younger? Because she can serve him more. So she said, I want to become younger. Tadhastu. The old lady became younger. Now the old man, he became angry. He said, you want to become young, leaving me? So I have my boon to ask. And Shiva said, okay, you ask. So he asked, let the old lady become again old lady. So two boons, both boons gone. Similarly, we have the boon of life in this body. We are wasting it. We are misusing it. You heard about this, such stories like that. There were two friends praying for Lord Vishnu to come. Vishnu came and the friends were practicing in the opposite direction. One was sitting in the north side of the jungle and the other was praying in the, doing penance in the south side. So Lord Vishnu appeared to the man who was doing penance on the north side of the forest. Then this fellow asked, did you go to my friend? Lord Vishnu was so happy. You see what great friendship is. I came here to bless him and he is asking, did you bless my friend? He said, no. Then he said, okay, you do one thing. You go to my friend and bless him. But one thing, whatever you bless him, I should get double of it. That's what I want to ask. Vishnu said, okay, what is this? So he went to that friend. That friend also asked him the same question. My friend? No, I first went to that friend. He asked this boon that he should be given twice what you get from me. I know that fellow. My friend was always like that. He always wants everything free without working. I used to work for him. So anyway, and then he thought and thought, wait, I will think and I will ask a very good boon. And he said, let my one eye be gone. Then what happened? That man, two eyes gone. Is not many of our desires like this? That is why many times the mantras don't work for our benefit. Because we ask something silly and if it happens, it is very dangerous. So before we embark on this powerful mantras usage, we should purify ourselves first. That is a highly important point which you should remember. Because you just don't know what your desires will end up later. At present it may be good, but we don't know the future. That is why what Gayatri Mantra says is, let me take the responsibility of what you should get and what should be protected for you, yogam and kshemam. Then what you are supposed to do, you just pray. You just put the current on. Ananya chinta yanto mam ye janah paryupasate tesham nityadhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyam. You don't ask anything. Even Sai, she used to say, if you ask something, I can only give you what you have asked. But if you allow me to give, I can give you something which you cannot even dream of. So don't ask God for what you want. But if you have some trouble, if you have some agony, if you don't like a particular situation, you can pray to Him that I don't want this situation. But don't say, take me out of that situation. These fundamentals we forget. Remember the story of that villager man who thought that just by passing the MCAT examination his son will become engineer. Just passing will not help. You have to learn something after paying something. You have to pay it in 5 years and few lakhs of rupees. Then only you can become the engineer. Similarly, in Gayatri Mantra also, you have to put down some very, very hard work. The first hard work you can start from now, the practical. And just because it is so simple, don't think that it is not powerful enough for you. Once Einstein was lecturing after his getting Nobel Prize in Oxford University about some physics topic. Then some of the students of that university, Oxford University, said, we want also to discover something very great. Then can you tell me, Professor Einstein, how are we to know that what we have discovered is something great? That's the reason. You understood the question? They wanted to discover something very great. And Einstein was the greatest of all. So they asked Einstein, how do we recognize that what we have discovered is a very great theory? Do you know what Einstein said? He said, if it is simple, it is great. All great things are simple, unfortunately. Or maybe fortunately. It depends on the view you have. Because it is simple, we ignore it. And thereby probably we are saved of some great accidents. Just as the old couple and the friends misusing the blessings. You are understanding what I am telling? So the simplest sadhana in Vedantic literature it is called as Soham Sadhana, and in Tantric literature it is known as Hamsa Sadhana. They reverse to each other. Soham, Hamsa. You can utilize anyone, both are right, it doesn't matter whether it's your left right or right left. The thing is you should move. Instead of just saying right, left and sitting where you are. What is required is you should move, whether you say left, right or right, left, right. Okay? So this Ajapa Gayatri, the breathing process, you be aware of your breath from this moment. You are hearing to me. You be aware of your breathing also. It is possible. Just as while you are driving a car, you can talk to your colleagues if you are not a novice, not an elbowed driver. If you are a sincere regular driver, then you can drive also and you can talk also. Similarly, you can hear also and you can practice this Ajapa Gayatri. So this is the best sadhana, and fortunately you are hearing it in the Navaratri days, which are supposed to be the most auspicious for Gayatri Sadhana.
So I explained, you understood the sadhana? The breath is going in, the breath is coming out. Just close your eyes for 1 minute and just try. The breath is coming out, the breath is going in. Be very natural. Be very natural. You are breathing since your birth. So you don't need any specific training course to tell you how to breathe. You already know it. But what you don't know is to be aware of it. I am not saying you go on repeating the mantra Soham or Hamsa. No, don't repeat it. As this sound, air from your nostrils is coming out, feel the sound hum. As the air goes through your nostrils, feel the sound sa. Feel it, experience it. That's the trick. And when you can feel it, open your eyes, follow what I am telling, but continue it. This is Ananya Chintayanto Maam Ye Janah Paryupasate Tesham Nitya Abhyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahami. Got the feel of it? But naturally you will be forgetting it. Throughout the day you go on remembering. Don't say Hamsa, Hamsa and Soham, Soham. You are not doing a mantra. Don't do that. You are being aware of your breath. All of you got the point? This is the crux of the entire spiritual sadhanas. So simple as that. Because you are not a normal man. You are an embodiment of all gods. Deho devalaya prokta. This body is supposed to be the devalaya of all gods. And because this is the devalaya of all gods, you can, if you practice, realize all gods. No computer works without the required software. Am I right? Suppose the software is not there. Can it work? Similarly, you cannot realize a God if already the God software is not in you. So if you are realizing so many gods, what does it mean? Already the software is in you. The only thing is you should know the correct buttons. Once, my father brought a color TV. And it seems while they were buying it, there is a test in testing the quality of the color by putting it in the black and white mode. The color TV can be kept into black and white mode. I don't know how far it is right, but some of my father's friends advised him, no, it's okay, color TV, but we get only black and white movies at that time. I am talking about in 1980s. So let us see how it works in black and white mode. So while bringing, the TV was in black and white mode. And I didn't know that there are two modes. The TV came and it was on and I see only black and white color. The movie which is the Chitrahar that was being telecast at that time was a black and white song. And only at that time, only Chitrahar was there which I used to like. There are not so many cable channels and this and that. Only that DD channel. Satyam Shivam Sundaram channel. So my father told me that it is a color TV. I saw a black and white song there. And I accepted it because only black and white telecast was being done. But the next day, when the news was coming, it was also in black and white. I asked my father, what nonsense? You were deceived, you know. You are a lawyer. My father was a head of a department in Madras University Law. So you were deceived. You don't know anything about science, as if I knew. Then we called with great anger. You deceived us, you gave us a
black and white TV at the cost of a color TV. Then he came and said, the mode was changed. As simple as that. All of us are capable of realizing the divinity in us, in all its multifaceted aspects. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa showed it. In 3 days, he used to get the result of any devata. Why can't you? You have the same body, you remember that. You don't think that the Guru's body is something special than you. The only the mode set. What we say in computer language, the default set. By default, you set your brain to be a normal human being. I don't know why you selected it. But now you forgot that that is the default. So what you are supposed to do? Change your brain. Hum. Sa. Just as simple as that. And if you have come to hear that I am going to give you very great sadhana, sorry. The greatest sadhana I can give you is this. And the greatest tantric sadhana in the world is this. And the greatest Vedantic sadhana is this. Be aware of your breath continuously. Be aware of your breath continuously, that's all. Be aware of that. And now, when you become aware of that, what happens? The first thing that happens is, you will be aware that when the breath comes from the left nostril, it is of some different nature. When the breath comes from the right nostril, it is of different nature. It is what is known as the Idas and Pingala. The left is cool, the right is hot. So be aware of this sensation. Throughout the day, almost for every 1.5 hours, the breath changes from left nostril to right nostril and from right nostril to left nostril. You don't think that the breath goes on equally from both nostrils. No. You can't also. So be aware how the breathing process is being felt through your body. Don't think them. There are many exercises. Even Pujya Gurudev has given some exercises of how to change the swaras, left to right and right to left. Don't practice them. You don't do it. Let nature do it for you first. Be natural. That is what in Gita it is said, Sahajam Karma Kaunteya Sadosha Matinasyade. Even though the breathing technology, the Swara Yoga says that early in the morning it should be right, 1.5 hours later it should be left, again it should change. But when you get it in the morning and you find it is not in the right but it is in the left, don't worry, just observe it. Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham abhinasyati. Are you following what I am telling? I want to lead you to the 3 powerful aspects of Gayatri. The Parsavedi, the Kalparuksha and the Kamadhenu. But for that, the basis is this. The basis is this. Be aware of your breathing process. Are you aware now? You forgot about it. Be aware of it. Be aware of it. Now, you remember the story of the engineering student? And one more example, similar way, on the similar lines, you can say that one man was not able to marry his daughter. This was taking a prolonging time. So he asked a friend. He said, go to a marriage bureau. They will suggest you some match. He went to a marriage bureau and just suggested a marriage. And they come, he came to the friend and said, yes, I have selected. Now she should be married. He said, what do you mean by that? You have selected, now you should go to the bridegroom's house. Talk about this and that. Just because the marriage bureau has said that this is suitable for your needs, you just can't go and marry. You got the point? What I am trying to convey to you is, if you want to the power of Gayatri as a perseverance, you have to practice a particular quality. If you have that quality, Gayatri will work as a perseverance. What is persuading? It turns baser metals to noble metals. Love transforms things. So the touch of love, if you know how to love, the miracle happens. Even an enemy becomes a friend if you know how to love. So if you want the power of Gayatri, that particular touch of Gayatri, which it transforms people, you should know how to love. Do we really know how to love? I will put it as a question because I don't try to go deeper into it. So love, the real love of a master, the real love of a guru, you should understand. We ignore them just as we are ignoring all these great people, the Sri Ramcharma Acharyas, the Sri Aurobindos, the Ramakrishna Paramahamsas. Do you know what happened in my college? One day a young man came in and he said that he had passed his MSc from Nagarjuna University and he is appointed as a lecturer in our college. So he walked into our department, to the chemistry department, a young postgraduate who is supposed to teach degree college students chemistry. And behind me was the figure of Vivekananda. You know this monk Vivekananda, standing pose with a bowl in hand, with a bowl and stick in one hand. He said, who is he? I said, he was joking. Because in a chemistry department, Vivekananda's picture should not be there, I accept. I thought probably he was talking in that Venus, saying that what is Vivekananda's photograph doing in chemistry department? Then I said, okay, I love him very much, therefore I have kept it. Then he said, is he your brother who has become a sannyasi? And then I thought that something is wrong. He doesn't know that he is Vivekananda. And later, it was a fact, he doesn't know who Vivekananda is, a postgraduate in chemistry. What sacrifices these masters have done, from what higher levels of consciousness they have descended on planet Earth. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa used to say that he always used to see a vision that in some highly transcendent plane, beyond and above and above and above this planet Earth, in higher lokas, a bearded old man, but very healthy man, the old saint, was doing tapasya. Suddenly the vision changes, and from still higher plane, a small boy falls into the hands of the old tapasvi who was meditating in those higher lokas. And this small child, coming from still higher lokas, shakes the beard of the old sadhu and says, I am going down, will you come? Ramakrishna Paramahamsa used to say that that child was he himself. And that old monk
was Vivekananda. So the messengers from higher planes come in abundance, especially in India. There is no dearth of such gurus. They come to this planet Earth. Do you understand that what great suffering? You don't understand their suffering is gone by asking them booms and booms and booms. But has anyone ever asked a guru, how do you feel being here? The freedom of those higher lokas, can you imagine? You can imagine at least. The level at which they live, you can imagine at least. And all this they have left only to guide us. What a great love it is. And if you allow that love to touch you, you will be transformed. And that is what I mean by Parshuvedi. Allow the touch of the Guru to touch you. You are not allowing the Guru to touch you. In Kashi, I used to visit a family, business family. And that business family used to do this weekly Bhagavata Parayana. You know Bhagavata? In 1 week, one round is finished, then another round, and that family, God only knows from since 3 or 4 generations, the Bhagavata Saptaha is being done. I used to go there and sit for some time. One day, the senior member of the family, who was supposed to be the yajaman of that Bhagavata Yajna, has to go somewhere. Then they said that there is an alternative. If the yajaman is not there, the son can come and sit and hear it. He said, no, I won't allow my son to hear it. He said, why? Because he follows whatever he hears. And if he hears that Bhagavata, he will leave this world and become a saint. I don't want him to be a saint. So he should not hear it. And this fellow, from so many generations hearing it, has not become a saint. You got the point? We are not allowing the touch of the masters, the love of the masters touches. I heard about a great sadhu, probably he came to Bangalore also. If I repeat the story, you may recognize that sadhu. That sadhu has come from Himalayas. And it was said that he has that Parshuvedi with him. And wherever he goes, he takes the Parshuvedi with him. And because it is so costly, because if you put it outside, somebody will steal it, so you always used to keep it in an iron case. And he came to Bangalore also. Do you remember this? You heard about this? He came to Bangalore. Anyway, you just hear what happened. So everybody knew about this, that he has got that special Parshuvedi, locked under lock and key in that strong iron box. See. And he said everyone is allowed to see it. I permit everyone to see it, but don't touch it. Are you remembering this incident? You never read it in tabs? Anyway, if I proceed, probably you will know about it. So many people used to come, some for out of curiosity, some for so many things, and for many reasons. Everyone used to say, I want to see that special herb which makes baser metals gold. They said, okay, it is there. You go there. Let's say it is in the space. And as the man used to take a few steps, he said, no, you don't deserve it. go back. And he is a sadhu. You can't question him. He is saying once go, and after you take a few steps, he says come back. This happened. He stayed with for a few months. The last month has entered, and many people started saying that it is only a rumor. Really, he doesn't have that help. He is just only posing to make money. So many mouths and so many stories, each giving his own color. For the sadhu, asking people to come back after permitting them to see. Once a great scientist, probably from the robotic and artificial intelligence group. You saw the board wave coming? Probably he came with his 9-year-old son. He also asked to see the help in the lock and key, in the safe. He said, okay, go. The father was taking 2 or 3 steps. The child said, stop. There is no help there. Don't go. Now the father became furious. So many people are coming and asking to see it, and he is such a renowned sage from Himalayas, and you say he is talking right? You say that there is no help like that in that sage? The boy said, if it is really a herb which can make iron, gold, and if it is kept in the iron safe, what should happen? What should happen? The iron safe must become gold. It has not become gold. So there is no help. Then the sage said, this boy is entitled to see that. Go. The help is inside you. But you have a right, because you have that simple common sense that if it is a divinity and if it can, if such can make a baser metal gold, the iron sage must have become gold already. The sage said, you are right, but I am also right, the herb is inside it. Then he went there, opened it, the herb was there, but covered with a cloth. It is not touching the iron. For the iron to become gold, what should the herb do? It should touch the iron. It didn't touch. The cloth is invisible. Your desire is invisible. Your approach to life is in between. This breath can transform you into God if you allow the breath to touch. And in yogic literature, do you know, the main characteristic of air is the touch. Those who know about the yoga philosophy, we have the 5 elements, is it not? Akasha, its characteristic is sound. Air, its characteristic is touch. That is the touch of which I am making and want you to understand. Let the air that is going in touch you. It takes time because we have forgotten what touch means. And after air you have fire. Fire is vision, form, color. And then you have water. Taste, and then you have the smell, air. You are following what I am telling? These 5? Prapancha, this world is made up of 5 elements. The prithvi element, the earth element controls smell. The water element controls taste. The fire element controls color and shape. The air element controls touch, and the akasha element controls sound. And now you try to understand that when you are breathing in and breathing out, the touch must be there. Whose touch? The touch of the guru, the man who has initiated you into that mantra, because he knows how to touch. You got the point? That is where the Guru is important. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah.
Now you breathe with this aspect in your mind. Got it? The breath is going in. Along the breath, the touch of Pujya Gurudev must touch you. It touches you. It is very simple because you are not aware of it. For example, without seeing up, can you tell me how many fans are here in this room? Don't count now. There are fans in this room, is it not? How many fans are there? Now what are you supposed to do? Look and tell me. How many? Eight? All of it? Same count, and is there any difference? Same count? Now you got the point, the fans are there, but you didn't see them. But as I asked you to see them, you signed, all of you come to the same conclusion that there are eight fans. Similarly, we have forgotten how eight touches us. Now you observe, the air goes in, the air comes out. The air goes in, the air comes out. And with this air goes in and coming out, you should understand the touch of the Guru. If you are aware of it, you will see it, that's all. You need not do any special sadhana to feel a touch. The only thing is, you should be aware of it. Now can you do that? Can you feel the touch of the Master? Probably no. Because you have not understood what I mean by touch and what you understand by touch. There is a communication gap. This communication gap is removed by mantra japa. If you go on doing the mantra given by the Master, you will understand the touch of the Master. If you go on doing the mantra, at some day you will understand the touch of the mantra. How? Again, let us go to our Gurudev's life. Then the Gurudev was about 8 or 6 years old. He was initiated into Gayatri Mantra by Madan Mohan Malaviya. He started doing Gayatri Mantra as initiated by Madan Mohan Malaviya. You try to understand how the life of this particular individual is so important for humanity. I am not saying for Indians. If you can understand the life of Pandit Sriram Sharma Acharya, many things which remain unexplained in the lives of other gurus become crystal clear to you. Now what I am going now to tell you is how by repeating Gayatri Mantra you will come in touch with your guru, with your personal guru. There are two gurus. One is the physical guru who tells you to do this Gayatri Mantra, just as the physical guru for Sriram Sharma Acharya was Pandit Madan Mohan Malaviya. And now I am telling you to do Gayatri. But when you start doing Gayatri Mantra, just as Sriram Sharma Acharya has done, what has he done? His guru told him that you do 5 malas of Gayatri per day. He started doing it. Then the Guru said, when you don't do the Gayatri Mantra, don't take food. You always remember, Whatever is linked with food, you will follow it meticulously, because you cannot leave food. So you take a decision now that I will do this Gayatri Mantra, Om Guru Bhavasva Tatsarkar Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat. Now this is the second practical advice that I am giving you. Today I said I will give you practical examples. What is the first practical? Be aware of your breath. You have already forgotten. You hear, but still be aware of it. Just do that. The second thing what I am telling you, repeat Gayatri Mantra every day for a specific number of times at a specific place regularly. The time and place must be fixed. You should always sit there. Many of us don't get the results of Gayatri Mantra because we don't practice it with this condition. You always remember it. Any mantra will be useful to you, will give results to you only when you practice it regularly, at the same place, at the same count. Got the point? You do 108 times or 24 times, it is up to your liking. But best results you will get if you do it 5 malas per day. It takes about half an hour. Same place, same time. Just as the TV announcer says. In that way, whenever you see that TV program, you will remember this. Same time. What does he say? Whatever it is, at same place naturally you will sit before the TV. So, when you do this Gayatri Mantra, you link it with your breakfast also. If I don't do the mantra, I will not take breakfast. And stick to that. And Pooja Gurudev used to say, later when we were there with him, I never missed my meals. What does it mean? He never missed it. Then what happened? After 5 or 6 years, something happened. He was doing his Gayatri Mantra Japa as usual. Very regularly, systematically. Nothing special. He was doing this Gayatri Mantra, and out of the lamp that was written there, that was kept there for the puja, a divine personality emerged. And he told him, the divine personality that appeared out of that Akhanda Jyoti, that I was your guru since many, many births. And in this birth also, from today onwards, I am going to guide you. So this Gayatri Mantra's most beautiful result is, you will come in contact with your guru. These physical gurus, even Sriram Sharma Acharya is not your guru. He may be your guru if he comes in the Jyoti. But physically, he is not your real guru. He is your, what we say, makeshift guru, until your real guru comes. You understand what I am trying to tell you? That Gayatri Mantra and the awareness of the breath will give you, make you in touch with your guru. Now you got the two practices. What are the two practices I have advised? Number one, be aware of your breath. Please remember it every day. Mutually, all of you, either by phones or by mobile phones, always make the other man, are you remembering your breath? You see what it is, the most beautiful exponent. If you can practice it for a few days, you can't leave it. The problem is, you have to be regular for the first few days. So whenever you remember it, try to be aware of your breath. Next, what is the exercise that I am going to give you? Practice Gayatri Mantra every day. This is the only mantra which can make you in touch with your guru. got the point? Understood?